Good morning. I'm sorry I can't be here in person today, but I'm excited to share with you this final message, this final sermon on our series on Paul's letter to the Roman believers. Today's message is very simple, but not easy. Accept one another. And the why and the how of accepting one another begins with imitating Jesus. You might want to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15 and 16. I'll start reading with verses 2 and 3. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Paul says, seek to please others. Seek out their good, not their harm. Try to build them up. Don't tear them down. Christ did not seek to please himself. He wouldn't have gone to the cross if he was looking out for number one. I told you, this is hard stuff. We're supposed to imitate Jesus, and he loved so much that he died for us. But it continues. Paul continues to explore the why and the how of accepting one another. Paul turns from Jesus, the Word of God, to the written Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Verse 4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So we know that imitating Christ's sacrificial love is really hard, so hard that we can't do it without the hope and the encouragement of the Scriptures to help us to love and to keep loving when we don't feel like it. Later in the chapter, Paul quotes three different Psalms, plus 2 Samuel and Deuteronomy and Isaiah, drawing from many parts of the Scriptures, many parts of the story of God's people, to remind the Roman believers that God always planned to incorporate all of humanity into his chosen people. And so the Roman believers, both Gentile and Jewish, can't hear it often enough that God will give them the endurance and encouragement needed to move forward as one community of hope if they let him. And we American believers can't hear it often enough from the written and living Word of God, that we are part of God's global and multi-ethnic church, and our opinions and point of view are not universally shared, yet somehow, with God's help, we belong to the one body of Christ. And then Paul starts praying, starting with verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is actually the second prayer of the letter. There's a prayer in chapter 1, and then there's a couple of prayers in chapter 15, and these prayers bookend the letter, surrounding the whole message in prayer. As Paul speaks to God, he's speaking directly to God, but he's also dropping hints for his listeners, for those who will be hearing the letter, the members of the church. There's nudges and hints left for them as they overhear Paul talking to God. If God gives grace and encouragement and endurance, then he can give us the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ had. In other words, can we see one another the way that Jesus sees the other? Can we take that unconditional and unchanging love that we receive from God through Christ, and can we begin to see others through that lens of God's unconditional and unchanging love? If we believe that God so loved the whole world, can we view one another through that love? Even when we are irritated or hurt, maybe especially when we are annoyed or having major challenges in loving one another. Of course, this does not mean that we will be exactly the same in opinion or conviction. But somehow, if we have the mind of Christ toward one another, in relationship with one another, then we will have one mind and one voice. If we submit our minds to Christ and see one another through Christ, then we will have a unified attitude of mind, if not exactly the same thoughts. If we submit our different voices to Christ, then we will have one harmonized sound. To glorify God, to magnify his name and reputation, get the word out about his love, we have to tune our attitudes, minds, and voices to that of Christ. Verse 7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another, because Christ has accepted you, just as you are. And accept one another in the same way that Christ has already accepted you, as you are. This acceptance will bring praise to God. There's another prayer down in verse 13, past all of the quotes from the scriptures. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this prayer is for all the joy, all the peace, and overflowing hope. And that's what the people of God in Rome need, to follow his ways and to get the word out about his love. And it seems like a pretty good place to end the letter on this note of blessing, on this kind of high point, this benediction. But Paul has more to say. I tend to think of Paul at this point, from this point in the letter to the end, I envision him finishing his writing, putting down the quill or whatever he was using, or stopping his dictating to a scribe. But then he keeps thinking of things he wants to add before he sends the letter. Kind of like the preacher who says, in conclusion, but you can tell there's going to be a lot more, that we're really not that close to the end. Like if we ended the worship service, but then came back up here to the microphone and said, wait, there's more. Paul, in the rest of chapter 15, writes a little bit more personally about his own life. Perhaps this part was in his own hand, I'm not sure. He writes about himself, his ministry, his plans for the future, and he asks them to pray for him. And then chapter 16 is a list of greeting. It's one of those lists that we love to skip because it's a list and it has a lot of names, some that are familiar to us and some that aren't. But in the greetings, there's a lot of good information in the greetings. We see accept one another in action. The list has Greek, Latin, and Jewish names. We see women and men addressed as leaders of the church. Phoebe is mentioned first, and we learn that she is being sent to Rome, probably with this letter in her hand. And Paul tells the people in Rome to welcome and accept her in the Lord. So, in conclusion, accept one another. I really am almost done. But let's hear this challenge from James. This is, you don't have to turn there, but this is verse 3, starting in verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Praise and cursing do not belong together, just as fresh water and salt water do not belong in the same spring. And yet we know that this is hard for us. We're not just talking about cursing as in a list of banned words or something. This is much more than that. To praise God and then in the same day slander people he loves, criticize people he loves, this should not be. I'm currently reading, slowly making my way through a book called Sacred Fire by Ronald Rollheiser. The subtitle is A Vision for Deeper Human and Christian Maturity. He says the capacity to praise more than to criticize defines maturity. I'll say that again. The capacity to praise more than to criticize defines maturity. And I know none of us are fully mature. None of us are done growing up in Christ. None of us are there yet. And so we ask ourselves this morning, are we growing in our capacity to praise God and bless the people he loves? Yes, even those people, whoever you're thinking of right now, even those. Let's pray. God of love, help us submit to the way you view the world and the way you see all the people. Help us to see what you see and to love as you love. We need your encouragement and we need your strength to keep loving. We need hope, joy, and peace to accept one another. May our Christ-reflecting love glorify you and magnify your name. Amen.